talk what we're talking about. Who's doing the intro? You know it by memory, MK?
Oh, man. It's been a while.
Make it up. Wing it.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Yeah. I still got it.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And it's been 2 minutes, and I still haven't been killed by George Zimmerman.
You've been in Florida for 2 minutes, and you still haven't been shot by George Zimmerman.
Or any other Florida man, for that matter.
Yeah.
And Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-gov license.
Woo!
Yeah.
I just scared my cats. They just sat up. Like, what's that noise? They're still getting used to me.
Aw.
Yeah. So, welcome back, MK.
It's good to be back.
Thanks for having me. How is Florida woman?
Oh, man. It's Florida. I'm here. Yeah. It's a swamp.
I'm in Tampa. It's a swamp. Get used to it.
Get used to it. Yeah, I'm here. It's a swamp. Get used to it. No, it's I'm in
That's
Tampa.
That's the show title.
Yeah.
I like it.
So yeah, I'm in South Florida now, which is a better part of Florida than where I was at, which was the Redneck Riviera.
I love that name though.
Oh yeah, it's super accurate.
The Redneck Riviera.
It's
I mean, it's like a beautiful
accurate beach,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's an awesome beach.
Yeah.
And
surrounded by Florida man.
Yeah. So many Florida man.
Did you ever see the death clock where Nathan Explosion becomes governor of Florida?
Yes. It's one of my favorite episodes of all time.
That is one of mine, too. Yep. So, Jeremy, you ever been to Florida?
I have been to Florida multiple times, but usually confined to like the Orlando-ish area.
I heard what Jeremy did tonight, and I can't say it on the radio. I'm just going to call him Jeremy H. How's that? Does that work, Jeremy?
I think that works because every variation of my last name starts with that too. So
Heisen N-word. Yeah. You can't say that.
Heisen Kitten, that was the one. That
Heisen Kitten, I like that. Yeah, I got a kitten named Bob. Bob the cat. I wish I had some good cat news, but I have some good, amazing news. Bitcoin rides again.
Oh,
yeah. Oh man.
The re-reboot.
The re-reboot. Yeah, we killed it twice. It wouldn't go away. We actually got a programmer in Eastern Europe and paid him in Bitcoin and a tiny bit of Bitcoin to fix it. And it's running, and he's part of the team now. And Bitcoin's working, and transactions are working. And they're confirming quicker than Bitcoin transactions for the most part. It's like a real coin
Ooh.
Now. Yeah,
wow.
So
it's a coin.
It is a coin. So there is a mandatory hard fork software update. It's not a fork, like it's, you know, your old BIPs will be good, but you got to follow the directions on the site. And any BIPs mined after right about now with the old software won't be good. They'll be on some fork off in Alpha Centauri away from Alpha Centauri. We're going toward Alpha Centauri with the current fork, the real fork. So go to bipcoin.org. That's Bravo India Papa coin.org. And there's a little streaming ticker tape at the top that says, mandatory update. We're all going to die. If you don't do it, you're going to die. So just click on that. It'll take you the directions. And yeah, man.
It's threatening.
I'm pretty psyched. I also found out, so I've worked really hard over the, you know, last time and this time to mine, like, I don't know, I think I have about 26,000 Bitcoin in a few different wallets. And so far, there have been 333,000 Bitcoin issued of the 18 million or whatever it's going to be total. And it turns out a friend of mine accidentally mined one third of them. I'm not going to say who, but someone among us is a Bipinaire. There's somebody who forgot to turn off mining while... Well, we killed it the last time for a month.
Oh, so that's the one who was keeping it alive.
Yep. So
awesome.
he checked his wallet today, and there were like 220,000 Bitcoin in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I had done that with Bitcoin.
I know,
I would be
doing
it right now.
You wouldn't be in Florida. You'd be in Alpha Centauri, man.
Yeah, for real.
Flying out only people you want to deal with, dealing with the rest of us over the internet, over the
phone. All five people.
That you want in your world. Yeah, that's kind of how I am. There's probably 20 people I'd want around, maybe, and about 20,000 cats. You know what I would do? I would buy Cat Island in Japan if I were bitch rich.
Oh,
do you know what Cat Island
right.
is? You guys seen that?
Yes, I have seen Cat Island. It's amazing. they've reclaimed the land.
Yep. There's people there, though, too. They probably wouldn't want me being freaky there.
Well, that's why you need to build your own. Well, if you had that much, if you had that many Bitcoin, you could, you know, make your own Cat Island. You wouldn't have to worry about being freaky.
That's right.
You know how people always say
freaky Cat Island.
You know, liberals freaky always cat say Island. if George Bush wins, I'm moving to Canada. And you know, now there's like Republicans saying if Hillary wins, I'm moving to Canada. First of all, Canada won't just take you. You know, they don't have open borders.
They have standards.
I know. All the conservatives who want borders around America think they can just walk into Canada and live there. But
oh, the irony.
Here's the thing. If Hillary or Trump win, I'm moving to Cat Island. That's all I got to say.
Well, Hillary is going to win, so I guess you're going to have to move to Cat Island.
Well, of course she is, because Trump is her best friend and went to her wedding and knew the Clintons before any of us heard of the Clintons. And he's just the controlled opposition. They finally figured out how to rig this democracy stuff the way it's meant
to
be.
That was in the emails, though. Did you read the emails that were
being... No, I said that, that was 6 months ago.
Well, that was something I thought from the beginning, too, but what they... Yeah, they're so in the latest WikiLeaks emails, basically it says that they elevated all of the really weird fringe candidates like Donald Trump and Ben Carson, so that basically, yeah, it would be easier because no one's really enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton. They're just like, well, she's not a crazy groper, so...
I can't imagine why.
She's a grope apologist.
She's a grope apologist.
Bill and the, you know, like 17 people who run the world promised her the presidency if she didn't divorce Bill. That's the deal back in the day.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
After the blue dress thing.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is so terrifying. It's like a bad nightmare. And I'm waiting for it to be over. I made a bet a year ago that if it came down to Hillary versus Trump, I had, you know, Bitcoin bet on Hillary, but it was a joke bet. It was like, there's no way this is ever going to happen.
And then
it's totally happening. It's happening. And and it's scary. Oh my goodness. I'm having nightmares.
Did you hear the show about the dream I had about Trump the other night?
Oh no.
That was funny.
it was true. I almost never dream about real people, and if I do, it's people I know, and I'm actually more likely to dream about, like, you guys who I talk to a lot, but I've never met. I think I met MK. We don't remember. I may have at Port Fest.
Neither one of us remembers.
Right, so we must not have made much of an impression. You might as well say we didn't meet. But, you know, I'm more likely to, like, dream about you guys than I am about, like, you know, my wife or my doctor, which are the only people I see. I've had fiend dreams, too, but I had a dream about Trump the other day that, like, he wasn't running for president. He wasn't that famous. And it was like 15 years ago. And I skateboarded into his office and asked to use the bathroom. And he's like, sure, man, go ahead. Whereas, like, you know, if you really did that, he'd be like, gods, seize him. You know, he wouldn't.
Or if you were a woman, he'd grab your.
Grab you.
Know. Yeah.
He'd seize you. He'd guard you and seize you. Yeah.
Did you see that thing he said where he was like, look at these women. Why would I grab them? Just look at them.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it work in the reverse? Doesn't he look like the guy who would just be grabbing women?
Yeah. Yeah. He does. He does.
He definitely does have that vibe.
Like that guy. I mean, you could just tell with some guys, you can look at him and be like, that guy tries to fill women up, thinks he can get away with it.
Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say, I've always thought, even before I really paid that much attention to him, I just always assumed he had that air about him that he thought he could do anything at any time, whenever he wanted, you know, so, like, that's definitely, it wasn't shocking to me to hear anything come out of, you know, all that stuff come out about him. It's like, yeah, okay, this is, you know, it's horrible, but it's expected, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so since we're on mostly on right-wing radio, I don't want the people listening thinking we're just like a bunch of leftists who hate, you know, like we're bashing Trump here harder than I think we bash Hillary.
Hillary and Bernie are just as bad.
And I would never say I was a leftist. I'm culturally libertine.
So. I'm a libertine. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'm just encouraging. Let's take a moment to say what's wrong with Hillary. Go ahead, y'all.
Her hair is just terrible.
She's got a now, she has an actual body count behind her.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, I don't want to be lookist. I don't want to talk about her look.
I know.
I'm so sick of her.
But those pantsuits, really? Come on. I mean,
her and Trump are probably the ugliest two, like, you know, the main candidates in, you know,
no,
in the general election.
Oh, come on. Like, look. Oh, in a while. Okay, maybe.
For a while. I mean,
John Kerry.
Okay, as much as you hate George Bush,
yeah,
he wasn't a bad looking guy. You know, Reagan wasn't bad looking. Clinton wasn't bad looking. That guy, the peanut farmer guy, had funny teeth, though.
Carter, yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't think he was bad looking. But John Kerry.
Well, he
Kerry,
wasn't bad looking when he didn't
John
smile with his mouth
looking,
open.
Lurch looking guy, yeah.
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 Not a looker.
I knew Jimmy Carter. I worked with Jimmy Carter. I knew Trump. Or no, Jimmy Carter. That doesn't really work. Okay.
When
he's
it comes
more like
to
Reagan.
Presidents,
I keep saying
like,
this.
Who is Trump?
Trump. He's like
an actor playing the greatest role of his life.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the cult of personality around him is very akin to what happened with Reagan. I see the parallels. Like it's crazy.
Are there more or less white supremacists supporting Trump than
openly more?
Right.
So I don't know.
No, but Hillary is terrible, and she's done terrible things, and she's going to do terrible things. And she's so war hawkish. That's always an issue with me in any election. It's like, who's going to be the least warmongering? And it's they're always about equal. People are going die in other countries because of who our president is.
Our president.
Oh,
you
got
a mouse in your pocket?
Ooh, yeah.
You got a baby alligator in your pocket?
I do. Bite me. Ow. Y'all's president.
You ever seen those varnished 6-inch baby alligators they sell in Florida?
Of course. Of course they do.
On a stick. They're crunchy.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
It is just me and Jeremy who've been left to our own devices.
Yeah, Michael's too busy mining.
Mining. You gotta mine that Bitcoin. It's not gonna mine itself.
Well, no, this is true. Well, actually, technically it really does.
It does. Never mind.
See, it's funny though, because he always yelled at me about turning it off before the show, and then when I yell at him about it, he's like, "Oh no, it doesn't affect that at all. It's on a totally different computer, not a problem." But now he's just for convenience. Now he's claiming that it is. I don't think he's being truthful. I don't trust him.
Why not both? So, last segment we were kind of talking about Florida. Do you have any Florida man or Florida woman stories?
Not offhand. It's been a while since I follow the Florida man Twitter, which is where I got most of them from. But I haven't been on so Twitter in ages because I've been trying to avoid social media on the whole.
Oh, dude, I feel you. It's making me so depressed. We were just talking about the election too last segment, and friendships are being destroyed, families are being broken apart. I mean, the war's already started before Hillary's even been elected.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's terrible. It's rough. Everything's annoying me. I go on there for the nihilist memes, and I just go on there for the memes, and I'm like, okay, this is how I get through my day on social media. I just read memes and share them, and it gets me through the day.
Yeah,
and I have a browser blocker on my Facebook now, so I'm not wasting more time than I need to be. It limits my time, and then once I reach that time, it blocks me from accessing it. It's like, no, you're not allowed.
Oh, so. See, that's something I should probably try to do because I do get sucked in. I've been lurking more than anything recently, but I do just all the stuff that's on there. It's just everywhere, and I can't stand looking at it because. I'm really of the opinion that it really doesn't matter who they let win. I don't really care. I think it's going to be the same no matter what. I think, you know, it just may, more bombs may get dropped faster with Hillary. In the end, all the same amount will get dropped wherever they plan on dropping them. Because that's just the way things work, you know, no matter what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I'm ready for Hillary, but only because I just want the election to be over. I don't have any kind of moral beliefs that she's going to be great. So, yeah. But we were talking about Florida, and I have a Florida man headline. So, Florida man gets 20 years for shooting at George Zimmerman's vehicle. So, we remember George Zimmerman.
Yes.
A violent Florida man who was violent and got a bunch of media attention for it and then just kind of continued to be violent after that. And then this guy got into a road rage altercation with him. Matthew Apperson was the guy's name. And got into a road rage incident. I'm sure George Zimmerman cut him off or was probably driving too slow. That's what mostly people do in Florida. And... apparently they have nowhere else to be, but yeah. So he shot at him and missed, and got sentenced to 20 years. So
20 years, I guess. What, attempted years. Murder was the charge, I suppose.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Attempted second degree murder, armed aggravated assault, and shooting into a vehicle. And he said he claimed he acted in self-defense after Zimmerman flashed a gun, and Zimmerman disputed that. Now, that's kind of interesting because Zimmerman is known for flashing guns and escalating situations.
This is true.
Not implausible, but I do wonder that if this guy was found guilty and sentenced, how messed up could that situation have been?
If
they sided with George Zimmerman, who flashes guns at people all the time and beats up women and...
Yeah, but didn't he walk on a couple other things earlier on afterwards? But he just always ended up in the news again in some kind of trouble. But he always seemed to get... I don't think he got busted for too much, did he? Because he didn't end up in jail for anything.
There were at least two other incidents where his girlfriend, well, he divorced his wife. His wife accused him of domestic violence and brandishing a weapon. And then one of his girlfriends did too afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
so
that.
He is a violent, violent dude. So how much more violent was this Florida man?
Yeah, that's Wow.
Scary place down here. Well, we're going to go to a less scary place called the market.
With Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd. Available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Freedom Fiends, we are back, and we were speaking of Florida men, and I have a Florida woman story that happened to me personally.
Ooh, personal Florida story.
I am a Florida woman, technically, although I am a Florida native, but I don't feel like I'm really a Florida woman like this woman was a Florida woman.
You don't identify as a Florida woman.
Yeah, I don't personally identify as a Florida woman. It's not my preferred pronoun or anything. But this woman definitely was. So this is going back about 6 years in... No, not 6 years. I'm sorry. That's inaccurate. This is going back about 4 years. This was... Yeah, okay. About 4 years ago, I moved into this place on the west side of Pensacola. And if you're ever looking for a place in Florida and it's $500 a month for a 3-bedroom house, there's a reason for that. I won't go into all the problems with that property, but the neighbor was horrific. So the neighbors, it was this Florida woman and Florida man, and they would have these insane fights, crazy fights that would start at like 3 a.m. and go on for a couple hours. And this would happen weekly, you know, a couple nights a week. They'd have just these crazy fights. One night or one morning, she punched the windows out of his car, like just crazy stuff. And like you could, I heard all of this happening, but I never actually saw this woman. I just heard her crazy. And there was a little boy, there was like a little toddler too, who seemed kind of neglected. And I mean, obviously he's seeing some crazy stuff over there because they're always fighting. And they also had these dogs that were always chained up in the backyard that looked a little emaciated. And those dogs, as soon as they would stop fighting and the meth would wear off, I'm assuming they were meth heads, by the way. and I think I have good reason to believe
they fit the profile to a T a little too well.
Very much so. And you'll find out why later on in the story. So these dogs were out there, and as soon as they would stop fighting, they would nod off or whatever, these dogs would start barking. And this went on for several weeks straight before I finally snapped, because I was working, I was serving tables at the time, and this would always seem to happen right before I would have to work a double. And I would work late into the night, and I'd have to wake up and get to work at a, you know, reasonable hour. And work all day, and I wasn't getting any sleep, and the dogs were driving, and they would bark all day, like on my days off, they would literally just be barking incessantly the entire time.
Oh, wow.
And this was a low point for me, I'm not gonna lie. It drove me to the point where I felt the need to call animal control. Like, the dogs, I did not think were getting fed, and I'm the last person who wants to get the state involved in people's business, but it was just, it was too much for me to bear. And I, in a moment of weakness, I called them, and unfortunately they parked outside of my house and went up to my door asked me what the problem was. And I had to like really sneakily be like, no, it's not me. It's like over there, like pointing next door. And so they go over there and they're kind of threatening to take the dogs. And I don't think they actually took the dogs, but the next day was my day off, and I'm sitting there, and this woman is sitting outside. Now, the houses are really close together, by the way. This was a really rough neighborhood. The houses were really close together. And for 2 hours, this woman is screaming bloody murder at my house, knowing I'm in there, saying the most incoherent. It started off as like, my dogs are like my children. My dogs are like my children. And like, she has a kid, which is really weird. I was like, what? But you have... Okay, never mind. I'm not going to think about that. But she's just screaming. And it was nuts. And then she starts making up stuff. She makes up this whole weird storyline about how, like, I had a secret baby and, like, hid the baby. I had the whole thing recorded on my phone, too, because I was like, I got to record this for posterity, and if I get killed.
She was probably like watching like Springer or something at the same time, and just, you know,
dude, I don't know. It was
replaying an episode in her head. I don't know.
Yeah, but it just went off the rails for a while, and then finally she kind of calms down, and so I'm here. I'm like, she knows I'm in the house, and I'm not going to call the cops, because I don't call the cops on people. Like, animal control is one thing, but I'm not going to get the cops involved. And I was like, man, I don't want to get killed. Like, I don't know what this lady could do. She punched out a window. She screams. She's a crazy person. And so I was like, I have to diplomatically resolve this Florida woman to Florida woman. So for like another hour, I'm like trying to like hype myself up. I'm like, okay, you can do this. You could just go over there and talk to her like a regular person. And so I finally get the nerve to go over there and do that. And I've never seen her this whole time. I'm expecting this 6 foot tall behemoth of just like a crazy woman. It turns out I knock on the door and she opens the door and she's just annoyed at me. She's not really angry. She got all of that out. She's just kind of annoyed. And she's like, what? And she's this little tiny, like 5 foot tall, 90 pound woman.
Whoa,
just very tiny. I was like, so I was already relieved. I was like, okay, I can take her, you know, if anything goes down. And so I had to figure out, like, what am I going to say to this person? What am I going to say to her? And I was like, I have to lie because she might kill me. And so I was like, look, you know, I heard you talking about your dogs. And I just want to let you know, I feel really bad about what's happening to your dogs, but it wasn't me. I didn't call them. And she was like, well, the neighbors told me you did. And I was like, no, that didn't happen. Like, and I'm stumbling my way through it because I don't like lying to people. It really bothers me. But I felt like I had no other choice because I didn't want to get killed by this woman. But then, like, we, you know, reach a point of understanding, and she starts opening up and telling me about her kid, and she's trying to get a serving job, and she's got like this wiry like blonde hair, and like just she was probably in her like early 30s but looked like she was in her 40s or 50s maybe. She's just really gaunt. Like, I felt really bad for her. And and so we get to, she tells me all about her life story, and she's trying to find a job, and I'm like, oh, this place is hiring, you should check it out. And we get to a point of understanding. A couple months later, my dad has a stroke, and I have to go spend a month away from the house to kind of take care of him. During this month, she runs a hose through the fence line to the spigot in my backyard and steals water for an entire month from me. And I don't find out until the local water company is there checking the meters and stuff, and they're like, did you notice you have a, this was after I finally got back, did you notice you have a hose running through your fence line to into their yard? It looks like they're stealing your water. And I was like,
wow,
I guess they are stealing my water. And by this point, the dogs were gone, the kid was gone, the boyfriend was gone. Like, everyone was gone. It was just her.
Wow. And
so I was like, well, I'm not going to confront her again. I don't know what the deal is.
You braved that beast once.
And then a couple weeks later, I get a water bill for like $300.
Oh.
But thankfully, since the ECUA guy vouched for me and he was like, your water was being stolen, you're not going to have to pay the full amount, you're just going to have to pay what you would normally pay. They give you like this one-time forgiveness thing. So that is my Florida woman story.
Wow. That's insane. The fact that she was this tiny little thing, too, that's actually, I don't know. I started picturing this very large, angry woman. But
yeah, her voice, she was, like, bellowing at me. She was just, like, bellowing, and I was just like, oh, my God, I was like, do I go armed? Like, I was like, I don't want to escalate. This is all weird. I was like, I'm just going to go over there and just try to have a conversation with my neighbor as if there's nothing dysfunctional about her screaming at me for 2 hours straight. And obviously being a meth head.
Yeah. But that just goes to show after pouring her heart out to you. Then she just goes ahead and it's like, oh, she's out of town. I'm sure she won't mind.
You need a lot of water to make meth. So, yeah.
Oh,
turns out. Just, I'm just wondering if it was that or something else. Like, what else? I mean, I don't even know how you use that much water. I think maybe she was just leaving it running or something.
That does seem to make sense. Unless for some reason her own water had got turned off. And then she just...
That, too. That was also something I thought of. I was like, you know what? I'm thinking the water got turned off over there.
Yeah. I mean, she very well could have been making meth, but it could be just as simple as that. But either way, that's just... Like I said, it's just sad that she goes ahead and pours it. She was obviously crazy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously had issues, had serious issues, but I didn't die. I survived that encounter and it was so scary. I was so scared. Oh my God. I like get back. I'm like shaking. I'm like, okay, I survived though. Survived, Florida woman. So
yeah, well,
one of the scarier things, but
that's, I don't know. See, I don't, I guess, yeah, I've been in situations like that too. It's just, when you're talking about the, you know, having to go in the first place, just calling the animal control. I mean, as somebody who's been an animal advocate for God, as long as I can remember at this point, even before I became like an anarchist, I had to go that route a couple of times and it killed me every time.
I hated it. Like, I hated myself so much.
But there's no competition for out there. You can only, the only time I ever involved myself was with, actually, no, that's not true. Me and or my family were involved in a couple of dog nappings, possibly. But for the most part, it was smaller animals that I went in and just, a couple of times I just kind of took from people because they were mistreating them, and I kind of threatened them and actually made them think that I had some connection to government at the time. And then just took their animals from them and ended up bringing them to my house and caring for them because they were in hard, you know, like this one ferret I got that lived in a house with like 9 dogs, 7 of which were pit bulls. And they tried to let them play together.
And
when I found the poor thing, he had like 2 big puncture marks in the back of his neck. Luckily she was alive, but she was brain damaged. So.
Aw, that's terrible.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, what else are you going to do? Gotta
use
the state
sometimes, you know,
fortunately.
You do, but if you can take the anarchist route of kidnapping the animals and caring for them.
Your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Too busy talking to be talking. Back again.
Yes.
So we were talking about animal liberation stuff. I almost got into that. I got a little bit interested in that when I was a vegan. And but I was too much of a sissy to get into the hardcore animal liberation front thing.
Yeah. See, I was never that. I was never that into, you know.
You're an animal liberator, but you weren't an animal liberationist.
I was more of, you know, an individualist.
You're a lowercase liberator. Animal liberator.
There you go. Yeah, I just took on the small scale, you know. Like I said, me and my family. My uncle was one of my favorite ones. He was a landscaper years and years and years ago, and he was at this one house that was a backyard breeder out in the Hamptons, and they had a Jack Russell puppy mill basically running in their backyard. And you know, like, they took decent care of most of them, but the rejects, they, you know, that weren't going to be, you know, get them top dollar, they kind of, you know, treated kind of badly, and they didn't really necessarily kill them off right away, but they let them, you know, suffer in other ways, and they had,
like,
this,
starve to death.
Yeah, they were the last. I mean, they would eat, but they were the last one to get food. So it was like, if there wasn't enough one day, then, you know, there wasn't enough type of thing. It was like, you know. And my uncle kept seeing this one little dog who was getting picked. They picked, you know, the kid, even the people's kids picked on the dog and stuff.
What?
And yeah,
how are you gonna pick on a dog? Like, I'm not a dog person. I don't even really care for most dogs. But and being mean to a dog, just
I know exactly. It's just it's horrible. But this poor dog, the whole thing was she had a corkscrew tail, which is a no-no for Jack Russells. You know, if they're gonna be, you know, anywhere close to the AKC standards, you know, with the you know, for show type dogs. And she also had an overbite. So,
that sounds kind of adorable, actually.
She was kind of cute. She ended up being a really crazy dog, and her and I had a very strained relationship. It was one of the few dogs in my life, and I've had a lot of dogs in my life, that we did not always get along. But my uncle ended up... Exactly. We had a very complicated relationship. But it was because my uncle went ahead, and one day he couldn't take it anymore, and it kept driving him nuts at night. He would keep him up at night thinking about this poor dog. So one night, just before he was going to quit the job anyway, so just in case, you know, he wasn't worried about getting fired or anything, he snuck back to that place at night and just took the dog and drove her all the way back to my grandmother's house, where I would end up living short in a couple of years later, and said, "Listen, I don't have any place to go with this dog right now. Can you just hold on to her for like 6 months for me?" And told her the sob story. My grandmother was like, "Okay, fine." Well, Star ended up living there for another, like, 16 years. He never basically came back for her. But he did keep her out of that. He did
get
her away.
That's like a long commitment in the first place. Like, can I leave this dog with you for 6 months?
That actually happened a lot.
6 weeks, maybe.
That actually happened a lot with my grandmother, though, because people would just be like, "Oh, you know, Aunt Dolores or whatever, you know, all the cousins and all the stuff." Like, "Oh, you could do this, right? Because you don't have it. It's just you in the house right now, and you could do this for us, right? It's no big deal." There was a Maine Coon that ended up half Maine Coon cat that ended up living at the house. I think she was like 21. I think we figured out by the time she finally passed away.
Wow.
And she lived there for like 19 years or something. The entire time going by the name of No Name, because my grandmother refused to name it because she didn't want to get attached to it, because it had happened too many times before with these animals.
So instead, it just lived with her for 20 years.
Yeah.
Totally non-attached, though. It was like a...
Yeah, well, no, she lived mostly outside, and once me and my family moved in there, when we moved up from Pennsylvania, she ended up attaching herself to me of all other, you know, and didn't really particularly like too many other people.
Oh.
But yeah, so the other one, Star, like I said, my uncle ditched her, but so yeah, that thing runs in my blood, and I can't help it. If I know that I could do that and pretty much get away with it by flashing some fake credentials or giving some story about how I will report them to the actual authorities, like I did with that one ferret.
I know a guy.
that's basically what I did with that one ferret. I was just like, "Listen, man," it was this young kid too, and I felt bad because he was trying to do the right thing.
thing because he had taken it from another person, another friend of his, who had it in an even worse environment.
Oh, wow.
But he was just in way over his head. He knew lizards and dogs, and he was not equipped for a ferret. So, like, I basically just scared him a little bit. You know, it all worked out for the best. I gave her a good life, even though she had to live alone because she was a little loopy in the head. But, you know, it's all
good. Sometimes you gotta scare people to do the right thing.
Yeah, I didn't actually violate the nap, I don't think. I told the story. He bought it. Worms.
Worms.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on their artificial satellite, Repair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms.
So we are back in the second hour. This is Jeremy. I'm here with MK. Yeah. How are you, MK?
I'm doing great. I was enjoying your story of the ferret harem.
Yeah. I may have talked about it here before. I don't even remember. But yeah, I used to have quite a menagerie of animals here because there was a time when I first started my pet sitting business that people started mistakenly. I don't even know how it started. It must have been like some weird, I just imagine it as some weird horrible game of telephone where people started mistakenly thinking that instead of trying to care for people's animals, that I was taking in unwanted animals. Yeah, and I think it started because of the ferret thing, because the reason I had, as I was explaining, I think I had at least 6 ferrets. I'm trying to remember now. I know I had like 9 altogether, but I think I had 7 at one time was the most. But I think I had like 6 when I got the one that had the brain damage from the pit bulls that I was talking about earlier. In the first hour when I got those together. But the reason I had that many is because I was a sucker for them, and it was almost like a weird addiction. Like anytime I heard a sob story about a ferret, I was like, I had to go check it out, and I almost always ended up coming home with one. Like the very first one I got was from when I was working at a Petco, and it was a brand new store. I had helped build it from the ground up, and now we were opening the store, and we got our first batch of ferrets in, and I had been in love with ferrets ever since I was like, I think, I don't know, Beastmaster. There's the movie Beastmaster that came out in like 81 or 83, somewhere around there. That was basically about, I describe it as Thor meets Dr. Doolittle. Because do you know the movie I'm referring to?
I don't. I actually haven't heard of that.
Okay,
Beastmaster?
It's called The Beastmaster.
Beast look.
It's called The Beastmaster. And it's this horribly campy, early 80s movie. But it's
basically, I love bad movies.
Yeah, okay, so this would be right up your alley then. and it's about this guy who has to go on this hero's journey. But he's built like, built like Conan. But he has this telepathy thing going on with animals. So he grows up with like this tiger. Or no, I think it's a, Is it? I'm pretty sure I'm remembering it correctly. It's they wanted a panther, but they couldn't get a panther, so they got a tiger and spray painted it black. And you can see the stripes underneath it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's like animal cruelty.
I know, but again,
this was before the animal cruelty.
Yes, this was back in the early 80s.
You get away with anything in the early 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So, but when and he had all these, and then he had a it was like some kind of bird, some kind of hawk that, you know, flew around, and he could see through its eyes and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so cool.
But then he found one day he was, you know, walking around the wherever he was, and he fell into this thing of quicksand, and there was these he came near some quicksand, and he found these two little ferrets, or he was bathing, that's what it was, and these two little ferrets came up and tried to steal his stuff. And he chased them down, and then they all fell in some quicksand, and he ends up saving, you know, they all end up helping to save each other. And, you know, of course, then they follow him around too, and they're his little thieves, and they do his bidding for him and stuff like that. I'm like, these are the, I saw this when I was like, I saw it a couple of years after it came out. So I must've been like five, you know, 7, 8 at the time. And I'm like, someday I'm going to have those things. My mom always told me I was insane and that I could never have them. Because she just,
so you got know. Like 20 of them.
Well, yeah, but I started getting them when I still lived at my grandmother's house, but I snuck the first one in, but I got her because, you know, it was the first batch of ferrets we got in, and I fell in love with this one, but I couldn't bring it home right away because I was still living at home, and my mom had still had this thing about no ferrets.
Did she let you have like dogs or other animals?
We had dogs.
Just a ferret thing.
Yeah, we had dogs.
Not into ferrets.
Yeah, we had dogs, and I had a couple other animals throughout my life that she was always okay with, but she was kind of like freaked out about this ferret thing. So like for the first couple of weeks of this ferret that I purchased her, she lived at the store. I let her live in the store still with the other ferrets, and she would just hang out with me during the day in my little apron that I had to wear. And she would sleep most of the time and just hang out there, and then wake up every once in a while and just pop out, and kind of I would just carry her around the store, which is kind of how I snuck her in the house and scared the heck out of my mom, because she woke up when my mom was bending down to pick something up near me, and she looked up, and she was nose to nose with the ferret. Which was I panicked because I thought this is the end of this right now. But my mom was like, she fell in love with her, right? She's like, oh, she's actually kind of cute.
Ferrets are pretty cute.
They are, and they're fun. They just, you got to take care of them. That's all. But so I got the first one, and then one of the other ones from the first litter got returned. This horrible sob story. This older couple. They had, you know, their kids had gone on to, you know, what, it moved on and got married and whatever. And they were going to get a dog together, but they decided they wanted to do something a little different. So they wanted to get a ferret. They fell in love with this ferret. Got home, had the most miserable experience for the first week and a half, because this ferret was the most chill ferret in the world, but they found out that the wife was allergic to ferrets.
Oh,
because yeah. She broke out in these horrible hives anytime she was near him, and so they came back and cried, and they made me promise them that I would give him a good home. So I took him, of course, and then that's how it started. Then I found the vicious biter. And with the story, you know, if I promise never to return her, I can have her for $40. There was another one, a friend of a friend.
Ferret.
Yeah, but there was another one, like a friend of a friend called me one day and was like, hey, I have these ferrets, and there's this situation with my ex-boyfriend, and it's getting kind of messy, and I just need to get them somewhere else. And I was like, okay, fine. And there's like a pair of them I took in that way. And so it just kept happening. And then the brain dead one is the one that I, you know, pretended to be from the government and said that I was going to report him, report this young kid for animal abuse. And took the ferret. So I had all these animals, and then people started thinking I did that. So I started getting all these calls mixed in amongst the calls for business. Like, hey, I have this such and such. Can you? And I was like, I didn't know what to say. So I almost always ended up saying yes.
Oh, my God.
Which is how I became
the Beastmaster.
I did it. And, you know, I never got mine to be as cool as Kodo and Podo, unfortunately. I tried really, really hard, especially with my first one, Savannah, who looked just like Kodo. I was like, oh, come on. You have to. We have to do this. And, yeah, they just never wanted to be that trainable. But, yeah, I ended up at one point I had 7 ferrets, a guinea pig. a small parrot. I can't remember, some kind of conure. I can't remember the specific breed, but he was a weird one. He was a nasty mofo too. Not very pleasant to be around. My dog, my cat, a Daegu, which for people who don't know is a small little rodent. I think it's not a marsupial, although it's kind of closer to that end than just the regular rodent. But it looks like a slightly oversized gerbil with much bigger and legs that it can hop really, really high. And it's so. It's,
oh, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's as soft as a chinchilla. I think the last time I was on with Lisa, she when we were talking about these, and she immediately was like, "I have to have one. I think I'm gonna go get a Daegu." but I had that, and of course my snake that I won in a court case. So wow. I had all of these animals in my house at one time, and I was running a full time pet sitting service, which included boarding of dogs up to. At that point, it was long before my kids, and it was just me here with my crew of animals. I think I was still taking in like 5 to 6 dogs sometimes at a time, plus mine.
Wow!
So it was quite insane around here for a few years.
I guess so. That's so many animals. I'm not a huge animal person. Well, I always say I'm a cat person, and by cat person, I mean I don't like animals. But it's not that I dislike them. It's just I just don't bond with animals super well, I guess. I don't know. But I was a vegan for a while. I do feel compassion for them. I did feel bad about them being treated the way they are in factory farms and things like that. So I was vegetarian for a while, and then I became a hardcore vegan, and I'm never going back to that. But did you ever, like, because you seemed really like animals, did you ever become a vegetarian, or are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not, and I never was. I spent a large portion of my life making fun of vegans, despite my love for animals.
A large portion of your life.
Well, no, like any like of my adult life, I guess I should say.
Fair, vegans are super preachy, and I say that as a former preachy vegan.
Almost all the ones that I ever ran into were. So that's probably, you know, I was definitely biased in that way. But that's the experience. Because I've since met other ones that aren't. And I've also...
It's very rare.
I've also learned to enjoy a lot of the food that they, you know, the ones that I could actually have conversations with would ask me to try. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like, I can dig this stuff. It's just I like meat, and I don't have a problem with that, which is funny because one of my favorite comedy bits of all time was always Dennis Leary when he talks about animals and the fact that we only want to kill the, you know, people love the animals, but we only want to save the cute ones. Like most people who talk about, you know, loving animals and stuff, and I fall into that category because I was always just like, I have no problem eating cows and chickens and, you know, and,
like, you're not going to have a cow harem anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a cow rescue service.
Well, see, I am planning on shifting to getting a farm, and hopefully in the next couple of years. So I may have cows. Maybe. But, yeah, actually.
Cow master.
I'll still probably eat them, though.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Gluten-produced beer. Hey. Beans! Talking about animals we can and can't eat, and foods we do and do not eat, and kind of half weighing it.
Yeah, right.
So we determined on the break that cows are delicious.
Yes, this is objectively true.
You probably shouldn't torture them, but they are delicious.
No, I agree. I only eat grass-fed these days.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are even more delicious.
They are, yeah. Yeah, I only do the grass-fed, too. So I was vegan for a while, vegan for a year, and vegetarian for 4 years before that, and then I cracked and finally ate some meat, and it felt way better.
Where have you been?
I knew it was a problem because I was working in the kitchen at this Mexican restaurant, and we'd cook these big roasts, and we'd have to pull them apart to make shredded pork and shredded beef. And I was vegan at the time, and I would be pulling these roasts apart, and I would just be salivating. I'd just be like, oh my God, this, and I couldn't control it. And it was a constant battle in my mind. I was like, no, this is an animal. You're not supposed to want to eat this. You can't eat it. But I was like, oh, it smells so good though. And I was hungry the entire time, and I put on about 15 pounds being a vegan. It was torture. Wow. Never again. Yeah. and soy products, by the way, all garbage. Like, tofu is a garbage byproduct. They shouldn't even sell it to people. I'm amazed. Did you hear about the Soylent bars?
Speaking of soy stuff. I read that was that article you sent. I was telling you before the show, I'd heard of the Soylent. I didn't realize there was a whole thing about it with bars and stuff like this. But yeah, what is the deal with this thing?
Yeah, so Soylent, I first heard about it a couple years ago, and it started out in powder form, and it's supposed to be this super optimized food for people who are too busy to cook food, and it has all of your nutrients for the day. It's a soy-based protein powder, basically. But they've started to make other stuff now. Now they have one with coffee in it, and they have these Soylent food bars. So it's these little bars that they sell. And there's this Vice article in the Munchies section of Vice, which I love that it's called Munchies, by the way. It's all about food. And so this is the title of the article: no one's sure why Soylent's food bars are making people puke. And so, yeah, it's basically this article about, Soylent has been marketed as a highly efficient meal system for modern day techno people who feel that they don't have time to pull their hands away from their keyboards and eat actual food. But it's giving people cases of horrific diarrhea and intense vomiting. And I mean, we had to talk about this. This episode has had a stunning lack of bodily fluid discussion. So I want to make sure. It's time for that section or segment of the show. And so, and it says, although not all the bars were found to be problematic, Soylent was quick to act and pulled the line from its online store. But they did a bunch of testing on it, and they said they couldn't find anything wrong. They pulled the batch numbers that people were saying were making them sick, and they said all of our testing came back, and there should be no reason why people are getting sick. But it could be, and I mean, I'm not a scientist or anything, but some people do have sensitivities to soy, and it can kind of mess you up in that way. I mean, I remember when I was a vegan, I didn't really have that many problems with things. I didn't have those problems, but
well,
I did experience other side effects, probably from too much soy consumption. I definitely don't think it's as healthy as it's made out to be. It can affect people's hormone problems. For instance, if you are already estrogen dominant, for example, it can kind of mess with that, which I actually did find out later on. I do have that hormone issue. And but it's okay. Science can fix it. it's not like a chronic condition. Science can fix it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But they're still researching this. I just love this. So there is an editor of the Munchies section. Munchies senior editor Matthew Zuras has been eating many of the bars over the past month and a half. And he says, my gastro storms are as violent now as ever before, so I can't say the bars have affected me.
Oh man. What does the guy eat normally?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, if you're having violent gastro storms, is it really worth it to be having that regularly? I mean, it seems like it would be easier to just, I don't know, change what you're eating.
Yeah, right.
And you don't even have to go vegan or paleo to do that. Just like, I don't know, don't eat the things that cause that. Like tacos.
I don't know. That takes glutton for punishment to a whole new level for me, and I'm just
I don't eat things that give me gastro storms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Sound of a cat having a violent kitty gastro storm.
Oh, poor kitty kitty.
Okay. God, sorry, that was terrible. Speaking of gastro storms, back to the election.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So that sums
it up nicely.
It does. It's been a giant gastro storm. I came across this video and I shared it with you earlier. It's so funny. One thing that gives me some kind of redemption in this whole election thing is just how funny some of the entertainment around it has been, from the memes to the videos. And John Oliver made a video recently, and I John Oliver is a guilty pleasure of mine. It's total, like, you know, middle of the line, like, progressive. I don't agree with his political views a lot, but his writing team has such a good way of making a point, like, and just doing it so humorously. And he did this video recently on third parties. I highly recommend everyone looks it up, because we were talking about the Donald and Hill Dog earlier, and we know they're terrible. Everyone is disillusioned at this point. I don't know how America hasn't gone full nihilist, because those are the main choices, and that's kind of how the video starts, is people being interviewed, and everyone's like, who are you excited about? And everyone's like, oh, I'm not really excited about anyone. I mean, even the people who are supporting Hillary are reluctantly supporting Hillary. They're like, oh, well, you know, she's not Trump, but they're not excited about her. And so that's kind of the premise of this video. And then it goes on to, like, say, well, what are the other options? There are third parties in this country. There are a bunch of different other political parties that don't get as much coverage. And sometimes they complain about not getting coverage. And John Oliver highlights some of these people, which I didn't even know some of them existed. So he focuses mainly on like Gary Johnson, the Libertarian Party candidate, and Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. But there is this other candidate who I am just, you already know who I'm going to say, who I am just amazed by. I think I might have to switch my vote to a man named Joe Exotic. Exotic. He's a country music artist. He's a TV actor. He's a talk show host. He is in his, they play a clip of his video and he's like, he raises cows and stuff and he's dressed in like this weird, like Western, like lots of fringe and, and suede and like these denim jeans. And he has like a gun on his hip and he's like, I'm not going to wear a suit. I don't do that. And you know what? I've had two boyfriends for most of my life. And I love this guy. And he's like, and you know what? I'm broke, and there's some woman in Florida trying to sue me. Maybe it's that meth head.
Yeah, there you go.
Florida man's after a man named Joe Exotic. And I actually pulled up his Twitter just now, and he's like, all of his tweets are thanking John Oliver for his like two minutes of fame.
That's so funny. Yeah, he was great.
Oh, he raises tigers. It wasn't cows. Gosh. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He raises tigers. How cool is this? Like, this guy is basically what John McAfee should have been.
Yeah, right? He gives, people thought McAfee was out there. Come on, this guy, he's really got, he's got the pulse of the nation, I think. And
his name is Exotic.
Joe's Exotic. I think he may actually even give give all vermin a run there. That that'd be a great thing. That would be an excellent debate right there. That would be an excellent ticket if they could run
together. I mean, I think everyone would know who to vote for. I mean, Vermin Supreme and Joe Exotic 2016. Why is this not a thing?
Well, I'm sure Vermin. I'm sure Vermin will be around next time around.
Vermin's gonna be around forever.
Maybe we have to make this happen for 2020. That might actually be a ticket that might actually bring me back out of the voting.
I think by 2020, memes are going to be running for president.
It's possible.
But yeah, I encourage everyone to watch it if you think that the third party candidates are any better, because he really rips into them and just shows how just utterly incompetent Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are. And I mean, I already didn't like Gary Johnson. I always thought of him as kind of like a wet noodle. It's just like he's so boring. And he's like, yeah, dude, how many times do you have to tell me you climb Mount Everest? I get it. Cool. But like the clips that they found are so cringe inducing and embarrassing. Like he describes climbing Mount Everest in the most like pervy way ever. He's like, a lot of people say I conquered Mount Everest, but it was more like she lifted up her skirt and I what did he say? It was so weird. It was like
I got a quick peek, and
she allowed me to take a quick little peek underneath her skirt, and I was like, are you trying to molest the mountain? What are you doing? weirdo.
those were hysterical, and I mean, obviously they're gonna find the best ones, but they really did find some good ones for him.
Jeez, yeah, I mean, he's like, he's just losing it, and Jill Stein wasn't any better. I didn't realize that she was in this terrible band in the 90s.
The rap she did. Oh, that was hysterical at the end.
It was about like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
Oh God. Trigger warning. Jill Stein rapping.
Yeah, I had no idea either. But you know what? At least I got to give her something. You got to give her at least a nod for consistency, I guess, because that was back in the mid 90s, and here she is. What, 20 years later, still pumping out the same BS, except
still
now she's
rapping
doing it
about the same thing.
Yeah, about global warming and all this stuff, So she's gotta give her points for that, I guess. But yeah, like I said, It could just easily be confirmation bias for me, because I don't know that much about Jill Stein. I know a little bit more about Gary Johnson, because the last time I did vote was for him in 2012, and that was the last time I did any voting. And so I do know, you know, a decent amount about him and his policies, and now I've realized how much more horrible he was than I thought originally. But yeah. It just, like, all the things I've heard about Jill Stein or read about Jill Stein, the crazy stuff, like, they pinpointed all of it. So it could just be my biases going, oh yeah, there you go, she really is crazy. But I don't think so. I think she really is kind of out there. And she's Gary really definitely out is there.
Oh, I loved his response. At one point, they play this clip where they ask what his response to global warming would be, his long-term response. And he's like, well, if we really want to get long-term, eventually the sun's going to get so big that it'll, you know, envelop the earth and we'll all die. And then we'll be having global warming. I died. I was like, oh, my goodness, dude, like, get your life right.
It was, that was really...
It was almost a nihilist meme, the way, like, I wanted him to be like, and then we're all gonna die because nothing matters.
I may have to make that later.
Please make that. So that is a nihilist meme waiting to be made. That is gold.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was he... It's so funny, the wet noodle, the way you described him, that really sums it up for me, because I always, once I realized, like, I kind of voted for him in 2012 just because I was like, I was I guess I was still clinging to, like, the last little bit of Big L libertarian at that point.
Yeah, that's all good. It happens to the best of us.
But I didn't see as much wrong with what he was, you know, with the things that he was doing. I was overlooking a bunch of things, and now I'm just like, yeah, I don't really, he kind of just seems like this, always this unimpressive guy. Like, I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I was in very close proximity to him a couple of times at different events and stuff. And even then, it was just like, he just seemed like a guy, like, who just was there just to hang out and maybe wanted to go sneak off and smoke a joint somewhere. I don't know.
I was about to say, like, he'd sneak off and smoke a bowl with you.
Yeah, sure. I would have taken the opportunity to do had it presented itself at any of those events. But otherwise, he never seemed all that impressive, and he definitely hasn't gotten any more impressive since the last time I saw him speak about stuff. And it's just, he's so wishy-washy, and so just kind of like, well, yeah, we could do this or that, or yeah, and what was the other thing that he got called? The one guy, I can't remember if it was he was being they were being interviewed by MSNBC or CNBC, him and Weld, but they were what were they asking about? Where he was just like, I think you get all his tax plan, and they were like, I think you're just getting into the weeds here.
Yeah, like, you're kind of supposed to get, that's the one thing you're supposed to get into the weeds on is like economic policy. The anchor is breaking down how his plan wouldn't work just mathematically. He's like, well, actually, they've done studies on this. And he's like breaking it down, and like Johnson gets all offended. He's like, oh, I mean, you're getting into the weeds on this. it's kind of an important question. I mean, money.
We're just kind of simply asking you to give us evidence of your claims here. That's basically all it boils down to, sir. That's it.
You're not completely full of it, dude.
You have this plan. Can he just let us in on it? You know, or is this, you know, basically it's like an underpants gnome situation. Like, first step, cuts taxes. You know, second step, like, question mark. Third step, profit.
Profit, right?
Yeah, everybody, profit.
It's like in every clip of him, he's either has smoked too much weed or hasn't smoked enough.
Yeah, I know.
He hasn't found that out, and he's old enough to know better.
I know, right?
You don't get high and go on TV. You just
seriously.
Don't do it.
I mean, come on. He's got it. Like, what is he, 50 something? I don't even know. He's got at least a.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah, he's more than a decade on me, and I figured that out. I figured my balance out a long time ago. Get with it, Gary. Come
get
on.
Get with
man.
It. Oh man, we're about to head to the market in a little bit, but Oh man, I got to talk more a little bit about Joe Exotic. So I've been checking out his Twitter, and I think this guy is my spirit tiger.
Spirit tiger.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
I forget his name. I met him at one of the Liberty events out here.
Ah, yeah. The rent is too high.
Well, in New York, yeah. Crazy. Crazy to try to live out in the city. I live out on the island, and it's still crazy out here.
Worms. Well, we've made it to the final segment, and the good news is we do have some redemption here. I think I found the person that I can feel comfortable voting for, and his name is Joe Exotic. And he says he's broke as crap. He's a broke as crap gay zookeeper. And this is a quote. This guy's my spirit tiger. He goes, I've had some kinky sex, says Joe Exotic. I've tried drugs through the younger years of my life. And his tweet about it, so that's a quote, and the tweet says, they think I am ashamed of anything I do. They are so wrong. That is why I am the first to put my past out there, comma, ellipsis.
Oh,
he wrangles tigers. The honesty. I love it. Dude, Joe Exotic is what will make America great again.
Yeah, see, and right there, the whole wrangling tigers things, all those people out there that talk about, you know, Putin being a much better leader, and he's this big, strong guy, wrestles bears and stuff like that. Here you go. Here's your candidate, folks.
Right?
Why throw it, if you're going to vote, why throw it away on Hillary or Donald or, you know, Crazy Stein or Crazy Johnson, you know, any of those guys? Why not just put it behind this guy? There you go. There, you want to make your point? I think this is the way to go.
Yeah. According to his video, Exotic is unapologetically gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. He says he won't change a thing about himself if he's elected president, so don't expect no fancy suits or haircut. And he was even kicked out of a Donald Trump fundraiser last month, even though he paid $1,000 to attend. He goes, it all started when I showed my ID, and he saw that I had a carry permit. And even though I ain't got a gun, he threw me out, Exotic insisted. So much for your rights in this country. F that. Amen, Joe Exotic.
Yeah. I love... The one video near the bottom has this great picture of him. It like, looks like he's in like a prison orange.
And, oh my God, you're right. You know,
with the blonde, with the salt, like the blonde salt and pepper mullet type thing going in the ponytail. Oh, it's beautiful.
I know what that is. This is the weirdest mullet I've ever seen. He's like short on the sides, but kind of like a bowl cut at the top. And the sides are dark and the top is like bleach blonde, but he's got the long part of the mullet back. It's almost crazy. Like a mohawk that's flattened.
Yeah, there you go. That could be it. It is odd. Yeah, it really does. He's got you got like the Friar Tuck bowl thing going up around the top of his head. And yes. Oh man. But he is. I mean, if you're gonna vote for anybody, this guy. Come on. He wrestles tigers.
Oh man. And speaking of, we were talking about this earlier, animals' rights. Because it's not clear what Exotic's platform is, though he's got a mat on against animal rights groups like PETA. How come the FBI testified in front of Congress that the animal rights organizations are the number one domestic terrorists in this country, and they're still nonprofits? He asks in the clip above. Valid question.
Yeah, I was going to say, excellent question, Joe. And one is that I don't hear... Did you hear anything about that? I mean, I don't really pay attention to the debates, but I don't recall hearing anything about that being talked about.
He's asking the hard questions.
Exactly.
Oh, and there's a wedding of him and his two boyfriends.
Oh.
That's awesome. They're wearing these pink button-down shirts, black pants with, like, big old belts. He's wearing a cowboy hat, and the other one's wearing, like, a camouflage hat. It looks like him and one of them have mullets, And then the other one has like a nice mustache and like a 70s like shag kind of middle length
hairdo,
man's haircut. This is amazing.
Aren't they precious?
This is my new favorite person. There's hope for America yet. In Joe Exotic. Joe Exotic 2016.
It's not too late, folks.
It's not too late. We've got a few more days left to cast a vote for who you believe in and who represents you as a person. For me, that person is Joe Exotic.
Well, I think I may be right there with you, MK. This is inspiring me to get out of my house in a couple of weeks. just to be able to say that I took part. I did my part and tried. I tried to save this great nation.
We all tried. It's been a pleasure.